Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
What a privilege to invite somebody to the stage. Remember at the beginning of the year we had Faf here, and one of the ladies the week later said, "Oh, it was amazing that testimony of that rugby player that was here this week." So ladies, JP Dumini is here to just share a little bit with us on his story. And JP, welcome. Thank you for coming all the way. Him and his beautiful wife are here. Let's give them a round of applause. He plays for our national cricket team and they're leaving this Saturday. So please pray for them for 72 days for India. So they travel a lot. They've just had a four-week-old baby, a girl. So yeah, let's give them the congratulations, eh? And No. We must actually clap for his wife. Okay, she's there. Yeah, you can introduce her. Then, yeah, thank you for coming. Thank you for taking out the time. We know it's busy. Your schedule is so busy, but we're open to hear from you tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, CS. Good evening, everybody. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight? And my surname is actually is Dumini, by the way. You know, I often see pastors do that, and I always wanted to do that, so thank you. You know, it's a real privilege for me to be here tonight, and as I was sitting there, I often get requests or people ask me to say a few words to inspire young kids to at certain engagements. People ask me to say a few things, a few words. And never is it this amount of people. It's always, I guess, a couple of hundred, but I believe there's close to 1,800 people here tonight. So this is quite daunting. And I was sitting there quite nervous, but then this calming sort of feeling came over me. And I realized that the reason for that is because God has placed me here tonight. There's a reason for me being here, and I'm basically a puppet. I'm just here trying to share a story of mine, yes, but the actual reality of that is that he's guided my footsteps for me to be here one day. So I'm really privileged to be here. So thank you, CS, for having me. And I thought I'll just give you a little background as to where I come from. I hail from Strandfontein in Cape Town, and yeah. And that's where my life started. I ended up playing for Strandfontein Cricket Club. And no, I didn't play for Strandfontein Rugby Club for the ladies. And that's where my life started. And I grew up in a Catholic home. And, you know, went through through the different ages, played cricket, played the different provincial teams. And, you know, when I was about, call it 4 years back, and I felt a sense that I needed to ask myself a question. I felt like something was missing in my life. Now, up to this point, I was quite privileged in my life. I mean, I got decent contracts from different teams, married a beautiful blonde lady. So I was quite privileged in many ways, but yet something felt like it was missing in my life. And I couldn't put my finger on it. You know, as most young men and women do, we go out partying and we think that, you know, we get this overwhelming confidence when we have alcohol in our system. So, and I kept searching in different areas. Went out partying, drank a lot, spent time with different people that potentially didn't add value to my life. And I came down to the point that something was missing. And it almost got to a point where, you know, I would sit in my room or sit in a certain place and I would be shaking because I didn't know what it was. And in 2012, before that, I met a friend of mine, Dieter Swanepoel, who is the Cobras fitness trainer. And he'd also come from a background of a secular life, and his life changed around dramatically. And I was quite intrigued by this. And I sat next to him on the plane one day, and it was obviously about an hour flight, and I listened to his story, and I was so taken back that I couldn't believe that his life turned around like that. And it was only because by the grace of God, that his life turned around. And till then, I thought to myself, well, I've still got to operate on my own strength because, you know, I'm trying to find my way through my life, find my way through my career. And yet, I always thought that I needed to do it on my own strength. But this question kept coming up in my head, day in and day out. And he invited me to a Bible study group one day. And I went to the Bible study. It was at the pastor's house, my pastor today. And I sat there, and there were about 3-4 guys there. And everybody was a born-again Christian. And there I was. And I felt like all 4 of them, plus the pastor, were staring at me with judgment eyes. And the reason for that is because, yeah, I am a person that's in the limelight in this world. So you constantly feel like people's watching you. And I never said much in that Bible study session, and I remember leaving there thinking, well, I'll never want to experience that again. And after that, a few days later, I actually contacted the pastor directly, and I asked him if we could meet one-on-one. And that's where my journey with the Lord started. I then, obviously, as an inquisitive person, trying to find out what is this Christianity about. And yes, I grew up in a Catholic home, but you know, Catholics are a little bit different in certain things. And I began to ask questions. I began to find out certain things about Christianity. And the realization was there that I was nowhere in terms of my life, in terms of my faith and my belief in God. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know to what extent he was there, how much he loved me, how much he loves you. I just mentioned here earlier tonight that we actually can't comprehend God's love. And that is so true. Anyway, after that, went on a tour of Australia, 2012. And I remember fielding in the slips, and Faf, was mentioned that he spoke here earlier in the year. And he was standing next to me, and I remember asking the question as well, do you ever feel like something is missing in your life? And luckily, the ball never came our way because we were actually not concentrating on the game. And he asked me, what do you mean? I said, like from a faith perspective, man. And he looked at me and he said, now I'm sure you have known that Faf's life before he became a Christian was quite an interesting one, and I'm sure he mentioned a few things to you. But that's where that question again came up. And unfortunately, when I say unfortunate, it was probably a fortunate thing for me. I got injured in that series. I snapped my Achilles. I was out for 7 months. And this is quite a trying time for me. I wasn't sure how to get back in the team. I wasn't sure if I'm going to be the same player. Faf was actually the one that came in for me and took my place, so I wasn't quite happy with him either. But nevertheless, looking back at it now, it was God's doing. And the reason I say that was I was faced with that question more often in that 7 months. And even though this wasn't the period that I gave my heart to the Lord, I experienced so many different things in that 7 months that led me to that place. And months after the injury, Faf actually was the one in our team that actually gave his heart to the Lord first. So years, I've met a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, who changed his life around. And here was Faf du Plessis changing his life around as well, who's now even closer to me. So I was now quite intrigued again. Like, what is it that is happening in your life that you are making these drastic decisions? And he started a Bible study group within the South African cricket team. And I was the first one he sort of roped in. And I remember clearly how nervous I was because he asked me to pray for us. And now, yeah, I'm speaking in front of you people, and this is just me and him. And I was probably more nervous then than I am now. But then, nevertheless, I prayed. It was probably like for 20 seconds. There wasn't much content in there, but I prayed nevertheless. And from that day, I realized that prayer is not something that you need to think about. Prayer is something that you just speak what's on your heart. God knows the desires of my heart. God knows the desires of your heart. So you don't have to pretend when you're praying. So from that day, my prayer life became a little bit better with time and became more comfortable with praying in front of other people because our group actually grew in this tour. This was now 2013 in Sri Lanka. And our group grew to about four people. It was myself, Faf, David Miller, and A.V. de Villiers. And one night in Sri Lanka, on the 27th of July, 2013, in a tiny place called Kandy, Faf had other ideas. The chapter that we went through in Bible study was called Salvation. So we came into to one of the guy's rooms, not understanding what his intentions were. So we went through this chapter. And at the end of this chapter, there was a question. Are you ready to commit your life to the Lord? So here, three of us are posed with this question. And everyone in that room said amen. Everyone in that room committed their life to the Lord. I was so overwhelmed. I couldn't explain the emotions and feelings that I was going through that day or that evening. And I got back to my room. I was so excited. I phoned my wife. I phoned my parents. I phoned my best friend to tell them the news of I gave my heart to the Lord. And they were excited for me, but also confused. Because this came out of nowhere. I mean, here I am now, a devoted Christian. And I remember standing in my room. It was probably like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And we were playing the next day. So I had to be up early. But nevertheless, I was there, so excited, like couldn't sit still. And I remember I needed to listen to worship music. I put in my iPod. And I was there in my room, put over all the lights. And I was just there with my hand up, praising God to myself. But at least he saw me. And that was how the 27th of July unfolded. And I remember the next day we played against Sri Lanka and I scored 97 runs. We lost the game though, but I remember I actually tried to phone my pastor that night as well, but he never answered. And the next day I spoke to him after the game and he said, well, generally when you give your heart to the Lord, the angels are rejoicing. So that was my story of them rejoicing. He gave me 97 runs. But nevertheless, I got back home after that tour. And here I was now sharing my testimony with my wife. And it didn't take a lot for me to convince her in any way that this is what she wants to do. So here I came home from Sri Lanka. I wanted to get baptized. And with me not even mentioning that, within a day, she came to me and she says, I want to make the commitment with you. So here we are on the 7th of September, a few weeks later, 2013, both of us getting baptized together. So yeah, I thought, I mean, life couldn't get better. Gave my heart to the Lord. Had a lot of things going for me. My cricket career was on the right path. But actually, the next 6 months of my life was probably the most challenging for me. Because now, JP Dumney, the life of the party, always the one instigating parties, as my wife would know. Always inviting everyone over for a party and just carrying on. Now I had the challenge of explaining to people, explaining to my close friends that I don't want to do that anymore. And I wasn't quite sure how to relay that message. So that's why I say the next 6 months was probably the most challenging for me, because I didn't know how my friends will accept me. And we carried on in that time, and you know, we'll be at certain people's houses, and I would say no to certain things, or I wouldn't go where they want to go. I would just say, no, I can't make it, or tell a little white lie, because I didn't want them to judge me. And 6 months later, now this is 6 months gone, and I had another injury, but it wasn't as long. And I remember it was over the December period, and we had a white Christmas party at ours. So I invited everybody over for a Christmas dinner, but it was probably like a week before Christmas, because I wasn't going to be with them on Christmas Day. So I invited them over. So now I wanted to do something special, something different, because I'm a changed man. And I got something out of the book of John that I read that was appropriate for the time. And I stood up, and we were about 20 friends, 25 friends, and I stood up and I read a passage out of the Bible. My heart was racing, because I didn't know how they would receive this. Nevertheless, I sat down, said a prayer for the food, and I sat down, and yeah, I thought we were about to eat. And one of my friends stands up, and he said he just wanted to speak on behalf of all the friends there. And he says to me, to both of us, how proud they were of our decision. How proud they were of us making that change in our lives. And here was 20, 25 people who had not given their lives to the Lord, but appreciated the decision we made. And that changed my life forever. I felt like a really, really now newborn Christian, because my friends that I hold close to my heart accepted my decision. And that was a beautiful time in our lives, because now I felt like I could express what I was feeling. I could express what I am about and what God wants me to be. And now I sit in a place in my life where I want more out of my friends. I want more out of the value they add to my life, the value I add to their lives. For me, it's now about being genuine. And I'm sure a lot of you sitting here today can relate to that, where you end up not spending the amount of time with people that you used to anymore, because they're not necessarily giving you that value that you want out of a friendship. And that's where I stand now. People often ask, the space I'm in right now, people often ask, how did you get to that space? So how did I? I got to that space by keeping my trust and my hope in God. And that's what I want to encourage you with tonight. Doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter the circumstances that you are going through. God wants your insecurities. God wants my insecurities. God wants my fears. God wants your fears. You don't have to be perfect first to receive the Holy Spirit. He actually wants you in your vulnerable state. He actually wants you in whatever circumstance you find yourself right now. And that's the beauty of God. That's the beauty of our Lord and Savior, is that He actually wants you just the way you are. And this is where I think a lot of people get it wrong, including myself, because I was in that space myself, is that we often feel we need to change first and then make the commitment. But the reality is, make the commitment first, and then the change happens through the grace of God. You know, I stand here, and I think to myself, if I was sitting there listening to me speak, because of who I am, I'm a cricketer, people look up to me, and it might even seem like you've got things all figured out. But I guarantee you, I certainly don't. You know, this weekend was quite a challenging weekend for me mentally. And the reason I believe for it is that I had to do something special for God tonight. I had to be His pawn tonight to share a story with you that hopefully speaks into your life tonight. And that's the thing about our lives, is that we're going to be faced with many challenges. We're going to be faced with certain situations that you don't think there's a way out. But I guarantee you, for every setback in your life is an opportunity for a comeback. And that's how I see tonight. I see tonight as my comeback to this weekend. I see tonight as an opportunity to praise God, an opportunity to be a great child for Him. So tonight, I thank you for the opportunity to share my story. And yes, there might be a few things that I left out along the way, but I think whatever I said tonight was meant to be said. Whatever I said tonight was meant to be said and to be heard by you. So again, I just want to finish off by saying what a great, great privilege this was. And I hope in some way that anything that I said tonight speaks into your heart. And I thank God for the opportunity again tonight, for the privilege of being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, JP. I want us to quickly stand. We're going to pray for him, for his wife, for their beautiful family, but also for the tour coming up into India. And so let's stretch out our hands and let's all pray together. Okay, Father, we thank you. Just pray in your own words. Father, we thank you for your blessing upon JP, Lord. Let his light shine, his wife, their child, Lord, the whole team, Lord, and especially the Christians, Lord, that has a voice, Father. Thank you, God, for your heart for them. Let's just pray a blessing over them, all of you together. Hallelujah. Amen. Just give him a round of applause. Thank you, JP. And let's keep on praying. As many of you know, we also, as a church, we're really privileged and thankful to God. In this next couple of months, we'll be going into being 25 years here on campus. And there's more than 18,000 students that have already come through Shofar. So we just thank the Lord and want to just build a memorial, and especially next year. And thank you for all your support and for what God has been doing. But thank you, Uncle Fergus. I don't know, should we say Uncle? Yes, yeah, wonderful. We want to welcome him and his whole team, everybody that came with him, Tony and some other people. Won't you guys stand just and that we welcome you tonight for being here. Thank you. Uncle Fergus Buchan. He's a professional golfer, was a professional golfer, and he's got a great story to share. So we're really looking forward to that. Thank you very much.
Good evening. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be here tonight. Who's expectant tonight? Can we have an amen over that?
Amen.
No. Amen! That's it. Now we've set the tone. Well, you know, it's just wonderful to be here. We had a great service this morning. It's our last service in Cape Town. Carl and the team, we've been traveling here for a long time now. We started these healing meetings last year. We had four last year. We've had five this year. Last week we were in Soweto. And this is our fifth meeting in Cape Town. And we've just seen the most miraculous healings, the Lord moving. We've seen marriages put together. We've seen blind eyes opened and deaf ears unstopped. Because, you know, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says clearly that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And, you know, when we ministered this morning in particular, when I went home, I went back to our lodge, I mean, and I just felt a bit heavy. A lady came up in the meeting this morning, and hey, we had a lot of people, eh? Jeez, a lot of sick people. And she brought a little boy up, man, about 4 years old. And he had broken his back. And she said to me, "Uncle Fergus, my son is dying because his lungs were shutting down." You see, brothers and sisters, when eternal issues come to your door, it gives you a different perspective. And I took this little darling, I said to her, I said, "Do you mind if I just hold him?" She says, "No, Uncle Fergus, I want you to actually take him." You see, it brought back a flood of memories to me. Because I had another little boy once in my arms in 1988. And I said goodbye to that little boy. His name was Alistair Copeland Buchan. He was my youngest son. I looked in this little darling's eyes. You see, I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ when I said goodbye to Alistair. But that's the day I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and I met him in such a profound, hard, tragic way that I've never looked back. It took a long time to get through what we had to get through, Auntie Joe and I. Why am I telling you this? Because when I took that darling in my arms and I looked into his eyes and he looked into my eyes and his mother's standing next to me crying and Carl is standing next to me, the team's around us, I said, "This little boy is not going to die." How can I say that? Because we serve a God that's above all gods. When things are not possible with man, all things are possible with Jesus Christ. Can we have an amen? You see, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says, "By his stripes we are healed." I'm here to talk to you about a bit of faith. I'm here to pray for you folk. And by the way, we've got an old box here. When we were in Moraleta Park, we had a bigger thing. And with lots of requests went in there. You know, we live in a different world. Our families are all over the world now. I have two beautiful daughters that live and work in London. They're blonde, blue-eyed, beautiful young girls. They look just like me. And if Auntie Joe hears that, I'm in big trouble. I've got the most beautiful wife, man. I've been married for 38 years. I've got the four most beautiful children. My eldest son is a pastor, and he works with me, and he preaches with me all over Africa. I'm so privileged to have a boy like that, or a man, actually. I married him 3 years ago now. and two beautiful daughters, and I've got a son waiting for me in heaven. See, this morning when I ministered, there's just two things I can't wait for to happen to me. Is when, firstly, I come before the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Master. And I come and I bend the knee, and I hear those words, "Welcome, my good and faithful servant." And standing behind him, holding those robes, is going to be a little blue-eyed guy. And he's waiting for me to come home and say, "Dad, welcome, I'm here, I'm waiting for you." And that is why, brothers and sisters, what I'm going to talk about just now, I'm going to talk about eternal issues. And now I'm talking to a whole bunch of young guys. Jesus is not just coming. Our Lord Jesus Christ is on his way. It's so close to him coming to take us now. I'm telling you right now, "Oh, Uncle Fergus, we've heard that. That's yeah." But let me tell you, when I hear young people talking like that, that's when you've got to start listening. You know, this young man sitting here with that clock in front of me. Yeah, see, you know what it reminds me of? My first, our missions, by the way, we're going to Central Africa, right up to the Ugandan border, Abyssinian border, Sudan. We go and nobody knows what we do. Jesus does, though. My first preach in the bush, and you know, Angus and I, for a name, we come out of the Presby Church, you know, Presbyterians, you know, the Frozen Chosen, that was us. Oh, don't get me wrong, I love the Presbys. Just that we had a bit of a meltdown, him and I. But so I get up there and I'm preaching, and I hang up a big crowd, man. We had a big bush crusade, and we're preaching off the back of one of my trucks, and you know, just coming out of church sort of thing, and I finished in 30 minutes time, boy. I'm just looking at that. He's adding the time up. I like this young man. So I finish it in half an hour. So I'm standing next to the pastor, the interpreter, and he says to me, "Are you finished?" So I said, "Yeah, I'm finished." He says, "Why have you finished?" Now, in those days, I still had a bit of red hair. I said, "Because I'm finished, all right." So he says to me, "But you can't be finished." He said, "Sir, there's people here that have walked a day to come and hear the word of God." And he says, "You can't be finished in half an hour, man. People have brought their food to sit under marula trees, thorn trees, whatever, just for a bit of shade. But there were maningi, there were plenty." So I started preaching again. Our average sermon, and don't worry now because I've got the watch there, is 2.5 hours in the bush. Average. People are hungry there, man. People want the word of God. We don't have to pull teeth when we make altar calls, when we pray for the sick. They're so desperate, man. Nobody will go to them. There's no glory there. There's no money there. I've just come back from 3.5 months of being up on the Abyssinian and Ugandan border. And the first time I took Auntie Jo with me, that's a brave woman, man. She's not a good traveler. She's about this big. Oh, about there. Yeah, dynamite, eh? You don't play with her. Let me tell you, when she talks, you jump, eh? She says, "Dad, you're not going on your own this time." So we got our Land Cruisers, we got our trucks together, and we drove from Joburg to northwestern Kenya. It's 5,000 Ks one way. And then 3,000 Ks in there. Masai Land, Katali, Ugandan borders, Bungoma, Abadia Mountains. By faith. Hebrews 11:1 is my favorite scripture. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet. By faith tonight, hope comes in a couple of weeks' time, but it's by faith tonight we're going to pray for people. That meeting we had this morning, I mean, that one little darling boy was just one little boy in an hour and a half of ministry, man. You know, there's a pandemic of breast cancer in this country. And it was confirmed today in that meeting. I just don't know how many people came forward. We were in Lotus River last night. I just don't know how many people. See, that's why the Lord called Carl and I to come and minister and come and lay hands. I take it very seriously. I'm a cancer survivor. That's why I know what I'm talking about. When I was playing the senior tour and coaching in Deutschland 15 years ago, I got malignant melanoma. Quickest killing cancer that there is. And one of the professors that I used to teach and coach and play with, top man in oncology, he said to me, Fergus, you've got 8 months if you're lucky. Because the tumor was so big in my leg. I'm not going to testify tonight. I testified this morning. I'm not going to do it again. Because I'm not going to give the devil any credit. But the bottom line is, I took the word of God literally. Okay? I said, Lord, if you wrote it, I believe it, that settles it. You see, in Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, I will forgive your iniquities and all your diseases. In Psalm 107, verse 20, it says, I sent my word and healed them. So there's young students here, I'm sure, that I've got moms and dads that aren't too well. Or maybe you've got a friend that's sick and suffering. Or we're going to stand tonight and pray by faith that that person gets healed. You see, going back to where we go and where we went and what we do, there ain't no doctors up there. And there's no hospitals up there. So you get bitten by a nyoka, or you get seriously sick. That's what we use. The word of God. And faith. I nearly died there 2 months ago. I got blackwater fever. And if I hadn't had Joanne there, she's a nurse, I wouldn't be here tonight. I lost 8 kilos in 6 days. But we finished the mission. Thousands and thousands and thousands came to Jesus Christ in 3.5 months. Purely by faith. If you go further down in the book of Hebrews and you get to chapter 11, verse 6, it says we cannot please him without. But you know, people don't read on. And this is what it says. Yeah, listen to this. Because you know, the pastors love to quote that, and so do I, but they don't finish it. Now listen to this. Go backwards. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Right, I just said that. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Well, to cut a long story short, when I walked out of the hospital, because I said, nobody must listen to what I say, unless it's the word of God. Because they were giving me stuff called chemotherapy. I said, what's this stuff? Tolof. That's his name, Tolof Hager. Ah, he says it kills cancer. I said, what else does it kill? He says, everything. I said, okay, Torof, that's nice. Next time you come to me for a lesson, I'll give you a slice you'll never get rid of. But anyway. Well, I was so sick they had to give me 3 shots a week for 6 months. Who's been on chemotherapy? I can't really see you, but I'm sure some people know people. Well, anyway, after a month, I said, I can't take this stuff. Do you know that the basis of chemotherapy, you know what it is? Well, let me tell you. It's mustard gas. It's stuff they used in the First World War to kill soldiers with. That's the basis of this stuff. Trust the Germans, and they pump that into you. So I said, So I discharged myself. The professors thought I'd gone completely bonkers. Hang of a cross with me. But you see, the Holy Spirit came and visited me the night before. Seriously, work this preaching, eh? Can't you afford Coca-Cola? Yes, yes. That's what I call faith. Gospel beer. I Always get home, and Auntie Jo says to me, did you drink a lot of Coke? No, I didn't drink any Coke. Sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I told another lie. And they said to me, Mr. Bucken, you're going to die. I said, no, I'm not going to die because I had a visitation. And I'm going to and been to another doctor. So this professor thought I was going to Berlin or München or something like that because I speak German. And he said, well, which doctor are you going to see? I said, I'm going to see a man called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He says, das heißt ein Witz. That's a joke, man. I said, listen, it's no joke. Somebody died for this body. It wasn't you, that's for sure. Now he's getting angry with me. So he says to me, listen, I'll tell you what. Now he's testing me. He says, let's just do one more thing. I said, what's that? He says, let's do one more blood test. Melanoma swims in your blood. It can manifest anywhere, your eye, anywhere. Came out of my knee, thank God, the back of my leg. So I said, yeah, do what you like. I said, but I'm leaving tomorrow. Now he says, let's just do one. I said, take it. So they took the blood out and off they went. Next morning, 9 o'clock, boy. Germans on time, eh, guys? Woof. Ein, zwei, drei. I was in a Bahnhof. I'll never forget this. I was standing with a friend. He was a German alpine mountain climber. And we were going on a trip together somewhere, having a day off. And the train, I'm not lying to you. I'm not a Christian. I don't tell lies. Mind you, that's not so. Anyway, so don't believe all Christians. Anyway, what I'm saying is, 1 minute past 9 o'clock, the train was late. In fact, it wasn't late. It was chugging up. He was losing it. I said, what are you so upset about, man? I said, half a minute past 9 o'clock. We're here. Train's coming. He says, next in Ordnung. Doesn't work like this. I said, listen, buddy, you want to come and live what I do? You're lucky if the thing arrives a week later. Nine o'clock, and he walks, comes up here. But this time, he brings the oncologist, he brings the physician, he brings the doctor, he brings the nursing sister, he brings everybody, and I think the toilet cleaner. They all came in. And he comes in there, and he says, right, Herr Bucken, was machen wir? I said, oh, I'll make what you like, but anyway. He says, give me his blood results. Takes it. I'll still remember him doing this. Checks it out, yeah. He says, listen, to the oncologist, I asked for his blood, not this guy's blood. He says, sir, that's his blood. Well, this guy went white. He says, I don't know what to say or explain this, Mr. Bucken, but there's no cancer in your blood. He said, you better go home. I said, well, my bag's packed. I'm leaving. Auf Wiedersehen. Brothers and sisters, that was 15 years ago. I was given 8 months to live. I was given a death sentence. But I took the word of God literally. I believed it. That's why I preach it. That's why I trust it. That's why I know it. Jesus Christ is more real to me than any one of you sitting in front of me. That's why we go where we go and look for the lost sheep and the lost coin. That's why we go into those areas that aren't so lekker. Because it's serious stuff. And you guys got to get serious in this town. Every one of you is called to be a witness. Every single one of you is called to be, oh, Uncle Fergus, we can't stand up on a stage like you and your brother. You can. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he is that is in the world. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He did not give you a spirit of timidity. Especially in these end times. You've got to stand up to Jesus. You've got to believe and trust and preach what's in the Bible. I'm sure every one of you are sick of people's opinions, because I am. I'm not interested in your opinion, and you shouldn't be interested in my opinion. What you should be interested in is the Word of God. That sets the captives free. But please, brothers and sisters, just take the whole Bible, okay? Not the good parts. There's some serious things in that Bible. Got to watch my time here. We were in Potchefstroom Rugby Stadium. There's not much that scares me. And Cole was standing with me with some of the team, and I made a call for cancer, people with cancer. I said, come forward, please. Well, from the halfway line to the posts, 14, 15 deep, there were over 600 people came out for cancer. And I stood there and I thought, yes, Lord, what do we do now? I just love the Lord Jesus so much because what he's done for me and for you. Sinners, every one of you and me, saved by grace through faith. And what I want to do, firstly, before I start to pray for people, and you're going to have to just stand in your seats or put up your hands or something, because I really believe in taking the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 18, real, where it says, lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. You see, it's not a love about Jesus Christ. It's not maybe or if. They will recover. Like that darling that was in my arms today. He's not going to die. So I'd like to do something. I'd like to just set the playing field level, because in this box here, by the way, come on, you know, that's what I was talking about. There's a whole bunch of pencils here, and I know for a fact there's families all over the world. If you feel you want to come down and just write a prayer here for somebody in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, I don't know, and pop it in that box. You're not going to disturb me with the crusades that we have in the sticks. So, well, if it's not a riot, it's somebody stealing something. So noise doesn't bug me when I preach. It's just when I want to be still with the Holy Spirit. So any one of you sitting down here, any of you guys want to come up and write something, put in the box, we're going to pray over it later. You can do that. You're welcome to come forward, okay? This morning, that box was full. I want to just set the playing field straight now, because, wow, we are moving on now. I want to just ask people, John chapter 3, verse 3 says, unless you're born again, just like JP was saying, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. That's bottom line. Jesus Christ doesn't mince his words. He doesn't. There's no gray area. All right? It's black or it's white. You're in or you're out. And Auntie Jo loves this one. You're either pregnant or you aren't. If you're not born again and given your life to Jesus, you're going to hell. Oh, it's got quiet all of a sudden. Yes, it's a fact. It's a fact. There's no second chances. When you die, it's finished. You're judged and you're on your way. This life, lovely to see this. This life is when you give your life to Jesus. So now I want to give you guys an opportunity. And I know I'm talking to a whole bunch of Christians. It's just wonderful to be here tonight. It's just such an atmosphere. It just reminds me of the crusades that we have, except they're more raucous and it's flatter. And that's what happens when we make altar calls. It's even worse than that. They fight each other to come up. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask you two things. If it's a first time commitment, I want you to take a walk and come forward here so that we can honor the Lord and give your life to Jesus. You might want to recommit your life. There might be some guys here that have just taken a step backwards. All right? You're just not right. You're not where you should be. Okay? Don't look left, don't look right, don't look at your buddies, because when you stand before Jesus, you're going to stand alone. You're not going to have your wife holding your hand there, or your boyfriend. So what I want to do is I would like you, please, to come down. I just love this. Come and stand this side, and let's just pray together to solidify your future. Okay, now as Pastor Sears comes and stands here, I want you to come down. Recommit your life to Jesus, or give your life to Jesus. Now, you heard what I preached. You heard what I was talking about. This is the real stuff. These are the eternal issues. Come and stand here with us here and pray. Because then after that, I'm going to start praying for people with cancer. And I know some guys here, your moms and dads are maybe battling and sick. It makes life a lot easier when you know what you're doing. So that's that person.
And I worry. I used to worry. Yes. Before I think, why are they coming down? Oh Lord, I've failed them. Now I haven't failed anybody tonight. You don't want to come down. Stay where you are. Shalapanzi. It's between you and God, not me. I didn't write that book. I just preach it. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Let's get this thing going. Praise God. Awesome. Come on, we're waiting. Just come here. There's people here that are Christians, but let's just get it right once more. Praise God. I love young people who have got no inhibitions, man. They're not scared to cut. That's old fogies that have got the problem. We're full of pride. Come. That's it. Wonderful to see. Come on. There's plenty of room up here. Plenty of. Hey, it's lovely. Come on. We'll wait for you. There's some of you up in the balcony. It's not a problem. Come on. That's it. Move down here. Come and stand here. Oh, praise God. This is what it's all about. Oh, praise God. Come through. Lovely. Jeez, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. It's as simple as that, guys. Holy Spirit, He's just touched you guys. It's not me. It's nothing to do with any of us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just wonderful to see this, man. That's it. Seriously, you're going to come and take this thing and give it back to me when you're finished. You'll have to wind that clock up again, son.
Hallelujah. We're going to just pray a prayer with you guys. So if you could just make some room, if you want to pray that prayer, just as you stand here, there's some facilitators coming. What the rest of us, let's just all stand for a moment. Let's just be, as we're going to just pray this prayer, because this is a holy moment. This is when the angels rejoice in heaven. Because when one turns, and there are many turning to God tonight. So I want you just to close your eyes. We're going to pray a prayer of commitment, of salvation to Jesus and make Him Lord of our lives. We're all going to pray together because there's a massive family here to receive you by faith. Amen. You're not alone. But this is between you and God. So we're going to just close our eyes. Let's pray a prayer of repentance. Will you repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I repent because I'm a sinner worthy of death. But I thank you for the cross. Forgive my sins tonight. Heal my heart because I'm far from you. But tonight, I repent. Come take control of my life. I yield complete control to you. Take my life, take my future, take my past, and wash me by your blood. Tonight, I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that Jesus, you rose from the dead and you conquered death so that I can live eternally. So tonight, I say you're Lord. You are Master. You are the King. I commit myself to follow you, to become a disciple, to give you everything. Here I am. I want to follow you and make me a fisher of men. Thank you for your life, your blood that washes me clean and that I can live for eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. And everybody says, amen. Let's just give God a shout in this place. Amen. We're gonna ask you to give us 5 minutes. If you've been standing in front, if you've been praying that prayer from your heart, because you know it's so important that we commit ourselves to discipleship and learning how to walk this road. Maybe you're down there or you're still in the crowd somewhere. You were not in front, but just pray that prayer from your heart. We're going to just take 5 minutes in. There's a little hall out there. Won't you just all turn to your right? There's a door over there just behind those lights there. It looks like heaven. You're moving into heaven right now, okay? The angels are waiting for you. And there's some facilitators that's going to meet you there. Just pray for 5 minutes and then you come back. If you have sickness, Uncle Fergus is going to pray for you, going to lead us in prayer. So we don't want you to stay too long there because we want you to receive the same, maybe emotional, physical healing in any way. So let's just turn to our right quickly. If we can just ask those people to move in a little bit. Thank you so much, as Uncle Fergus is going to pray for us and lead us in prayer. Thank you.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.